We continue our series, Transformed 2019, and we started off with transforming our spiritual health, our spiritual lives, thinking about that. Last week we talked about our physical health, transformation of our physical health. Today we're going to talk about our mental health, changing our mind, our mental health. We're really going to focus today on what happens when we work with our theme verse, Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Changing the way you think. You ever think about your thoughts? And we dabbled into this a little bit on the introduction to this series a few weeks ago. But we're given a few things. And first of all, I got to tell you, this series, you know, this Transform series, we ordered it from Saddleback Church. It's a wonderful series done by thousands of churches all around the country. And they send us everything, you know, ready to go. The DVDs and the Bible studies and so forth. They even send messages, which you might think would be wonderful. I could just print and read the messages, but I have to tell you that if you're not familiar, Rick Warren, when he preaches, the sermons are 1 hour. 1 hour. And so I didn't think you would want me to read his sermons and be here for whatever time that would take. So I have to take what he gives us and condense it to whatever time, 15 minutes, and that can be challenging. So I try to follow the outline of what they send, but it's really good stuff. And so I really want to get the meat of it all, and hopefully we're getting that. So anyway, we're given three reasons why it's so important that we manage our mind, our thought life. And the first is because thoughts control my life. Do you ever really think about that? Every action begins with a thought. Every action. If we don't think it, it doesn't happen, good or bad. Every action begins with a thought. Proverbs 4:23. Be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. We get to choose our thoughts. The second reason why it's so important that we manage our mind is because my mind is a battleground for sin. My mind is a battleground for sin. Every temptation begins in the mind. So every sin begins there. Pride, lust, fear, hatred, resentment, whatever it is. Romans 7:22 and 23. I love to do God's will so far as my new nature is concerned, but, here's the big but, there's something else deep within me that is at war with my mind and wins the fight and makes me a slave to the sin within me. In my mind, I want to be God's servant, but instead I find myself enslaved to sin. There's a battle going on inside our minds. Ever think about this? Whatever gets your attention gets you. It's an interesting thought. Third reason we need to manage our minds, because it's the key to peace and happiness. The key to peace and happiness. Romans 8:6. If your sinful nature controls your mind, there's death. But if the Holy Spirit controls your mind, there's life and peace. So this week, well, I guess for today, and we'll make up tomorrow, the groups that meet tomorrow and perhaps Wednesday, but the small groups are going to talk about five habits for a healthy mind, which is going to be very informative and helpful. Today, we're going to look at three choices. three choices that we need to make every day in managing our mind. So here's the first one. I must feed my mind with truth. We need to feed our mind with truth. What is that? God's Word. I haven't got a chance to read it in depth, but I always look at Barna's report. It's called State of the Bible. They put out every year. And I did glance through it, and one of the things that I noticed, I always look at this part, but Bible reading, even among Christians, continues to decline in our country. People less and less are engaging in the Word of God. The most important thing we need, the most important food, nourishment that we need, people aren't getting to it. Matthew 4:4, we've heard this many times, but people need more than bread for their life. They must feed on every word of God. It's our soul food. When do you think we should feed our mind? How often? The truth, God's Word. We have to work on that all the time. Increasing instead of declining every single day. Psalm 119:147. I rise early to cry out for help and to put my hope in your words. Put my hope in your words, Lord. I didn't count these, but according to the material that was sent, there are over 7,000 promises in the Bible. 7,000. Imagine how our hope would increase if we searched for those treasures and remembered the hopes that are in this word. Psalm 119:97. Lord, how I love your word. I think about it all day long. And then David said in Psalm 16, even in the darkest of night, your teachings fill my mind. Psalm 119:95, when wicked people hide to ambush and kill me, I quietly keep my mind on your decrees or on your word. That sounds like a lot and very frequent getting into God's word. The second thing is, I must free my mind from destructive thoughts. Free my mind of destructive thoughts. There's three forces that battle in our mind. And the first one is our old nature. We heard a little bit of that already, and we'll look more of what Paul said. Our old nature, our old sinful selves. Luther talked about that a lot as well. Romans 7:23, I see my body, in my body rather, a principle at war with the law of my mind, taking me captive to the law of sin that dwells inside me. You ever do something that you don't want to do? Like, oh, I know I shouldn't do this, but we all do, don't we? It's our old nature is just not our friend. The source of many bad habits. Romans 8:5. Those who are dominated by their sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. Our old nature is at war inside of us, battling for our mind. The second enemy is Satan. We don't talk about it enough, I don't believe, in our churches. The devil is at work. Listen to these words from 1 Peter 5:8. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Now, Satan can't force us to do anything. A believer, one who has been baptized, have the Holy Spirit in us, he can't force us to do anything, but he can continually plant negative thoughts, temptations, all those things in our mind, try to entice us to follow our sinful nature. The third enemy, the world's values. We We talk about this a lot, but think about all of the messages we get from the world. Advertisers, TV, media. 1 John 2:16, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust in the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of this world. Nothing around us encourages us to be disciplined in our thoughts, in our mind, in managing our mind. How do we fight? How do we fight these enemies? And we heard Conrad read it just a few minutes ago, how we fight this mental battle. Though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. Here's our weapons. Here's how we fight. Our weapons have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish any argument and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. We take captive every thought, and we make it obedient to Christ. That's how we fight. And what's a stronghold? It's any lie that I believe, any lie that you believe is a stronghold. It can be a worldview. It can be attitudes. Anything that tries to sidetrack us. And so what do? We take captive. The Greek says that we conquer. It means we conquer, bring it under control, and then make obedient. Bring it into submission. You think that's possible? It is possible. Why? Because we have divine power. Divine power to demolish strongholds. It's not just us working. It's God's power, His Holy Spirit working in us for this to happen. Think about that. To be that disciplined in our thoughts. Every thought, we take every thought captive. I'd say that's a challenge for myself, that's for sure. Hopefully it's a challenge for all of us. So how does temptation work? It's kind of a little aside here. We get the picture of it in James, first chapter. How do these enemies work against us in getting control of our mind and sidetracking us, getting us to sin, to disobey God? First thing that happens, James 1, 14 and 15. Temptation comes from the lure of our own evil desires. These evil desires lead to evil actions, and then the evil actions lead to death. Temptation is a process. First step, desire. Begins within us. It says God doesn't tempt anyone. Our temptations come from our own desires. In fact, it can be even good desires. Good things that we need to eat, drink, sleep. Any of those things. Work. But when those desires rule and take over, they can become runaway desires and sidetrack us. Kind of like blood in the water for a shark, perhaps. Those desires grow, which leads to doubt. These desires then lead to doubt. Get us to maybe question. The devil loves to do this to us, to plant a seed of doubt. Makes us think about Genesis 3, doesn't it? Did God really say? Think about all of the temptations that get us to go down that path. Did God really say, don't you deserve? It won't hurt just this one time. And that leads right into the deception that's enticing us. The term used in some of the translations is lure. Does that make you think about fishing? It's kind of a good, I think, analogy or picture for us to think about the temptations at work at us, luring. And what do we need on lures? Bait, right? I know my grandpa talked about fish biting so great that you could throw a bare hook in the water at times, but I don't think that happens very often, does it? It takes bait. So my question is, what's your bait? How does the devil work and know to manipulate your mind? The temptations that work, that bear fruit, the fruit of sin, of disobeying the Lord. What's your bait? And then the final thing is disobedience. It all gives birth to disobeying the Lord, sinning. Goes back to the very first point that we started with, isn't it? Think about what you think about. And that little thought can go all the way, grow and become a sin, disobeying the Lord. And we're free to choose our thoughts. This is an interesting comment and one to ponder, I think, for all of us, really for our world. We are free to choose our thoughts, but we aren't free to choose the consequences of our thoughts and our actions. So what's the best time to win this battle? It's before it even starts. Before it even starts. Psalm 119, 112. I have made up my mind to obey your laws forever, no matter what. So we must feed our mind with the truth. We must free our mind of destructive thoughts. And then finally, the last thing is what we must do is we must focus our mind on the right things. Focus on the right things. And there's many, but we're given just three to ponder this morning. The first one, think about Jesus. You've heard that cliche, you become what you think about. There's truth to that, I believe. Can you imagine if we all thought about Jesus all the time? What would we become? More and more like Jesus all the time. 2 Timothy 2:8, keep your mind on Jesus Christ. Hebrews 12:3, think about Jesus' example. He held on while wicked people were doing evil things to him. Do not get tired and stop trying. So the first thing, think about Jesus. Number two, think about others. Pretty countercultural, isn't it? We're not thinking about me. Starting with Jesus and then others. Philippians 2:4, don't just think about your own affairs. Be interested in others too and what they are doing. What would happen in our world if we actually did this? If all people did this? Thought about the Lord and then others before self. Be incredible, wouldn't it? Hebrews 10:24, let us think about each other and help each other to show love and do good deeds. So think about Jesus and think about others. And the final, last thing, think about eternity. Think about eternity. Colossians 3:2, let heaven fill your thoughts. Do not think only about things down here on earth. 1 Corinthians 2:9, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. Again, I think this is something we don't talk about enough. This great, amazing life that awaits us. It's like we don't want to talk about it. We don't want to talk about what's on the other side of death. It's like, you know, we want this insurance policy in place that, well, if I have to leave this world that I love, at least I want to go somewhere that's decent if there is a God. And obviously that's probably exaggerating and being a little bit sarcastic, but there's some truth though, isn't there? We don't think about what's on the other side of death in a positive way that would inform our mind and our actions now. It's going to be amazing. Even the little pictures we get in the scriptures, it's going to be amazing. It should inform the way we live now. Drive us to all these things. Feed our mind with the truth. Free our mind of destructive thoughts and focus on the right things. that we will not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Amen.